Well, throughout Advent here, we have been looking at some of the familiar phrases that we say or sing, things like Merry Christmas, or it's the most wonderful time of the year, or Jesus is the reason for the season. And we've looked at what it would be like if we actually lived out what we said and sang. And today we draw to a conclusion, and tonight's phrase is joy to the world. There is no Christmas Eve service that is complete without singing Joy to the World. It is perhaps one of the most favorite and most familiar of all the Christmas carols. Lowell Mason actually wrote the music, and well, he didn't actually write the music. What he did was he sampled the Messiah, kind of invented sampling of music. He took bits and pieces out of the Messiah and put it together to come up with Joy to the World. And the words are also borrowed as well, because although they're attributed to Isaac Watts, what he did was he paraphrased the 98th Psalm. And think of the lyrics of Joy to the World as you hear some of Psalm 98. This says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he's done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." Now, Psalm 98 was written a long time before that first Christmas. But in Christ's coming, he made that psalm become visible. People could see the reality of it. And not just people, but every creature, as the psalm talks about, from the seas to the mountains, the whole world is called to rejoice, to sing for joy, and not just the people, all creation. And that's why you have that really funny verse that's so hard to sing, in Joy to the World, the one that says, "Joy to the world, the Savior reigns, let all their songs employ." And then you expect that it's going to talk about all different kinds of people, but it says, "While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy." It's always kind of a tongue twister there. But the psalm cries out for all creation to rejoice and to sing for joy. It's such a great song, and it's so familiar that you would think that it'd be hard to mess it up. But it can be done. Years ago, back before they had Spotify and Pandora, back before the iTunes and iPods, and even back before CDs, there were these things called records. Some of you know what they are. You'd even know what a 45 is. Yes, so this is a true story, but it's from long ago, back in the days of records. A girl brought a 45 to school, and she asked the teacher if they could play it on the record player in the classroom. And those of you who are old enough to remember, they look like this. And she said, "Can we play this record for the class? I really love this song." The teacher looked at it, said, "Joy to the World." And she said, "Oh, that's my favorite carol." And she put it on the record player. And this is what they heard.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine.
On with it. Needless to say, it was not safe for classroom material. So it is possible to mess up Joy to the World if you use the wrong version, like Three Dog Night's version, which, of course, doesn't contain any reference to Jesus. So you can mess up the song. There's other ways to mess up Christmas joy, too, like these classic Christmas picture fails. You know, the ones you want to take to put in the cards to send out? So the lesson is this. Don't expect your kids to be joyful just because you stick a J-O-Y in their hands. You know, you can mess up joy to the world, but there is one other way that we mess it up. And perhaps it's more common than using the wrong version or picture fails. The other way to mess it up is to believe that the joy is something that we can create, that we have to manufacture, that the joy is up to us. And I have to confess that as a pastor, I've been stressing out about this first Christmas sermon for a long time. And when we announced that it was going to be Joy to the World, I spent the last 2 months saying, people will want this sermon to really bring them joy. And how can I bring Christmas joy through the message and all the other parts of the service? And I've just been racking my brain to come up with things so that you will walk out of here rejoicing. And I was praying about this and saying, Lord, you just got to show me because I'm coming up empty. And this is what I heard in prayer. Hey, Mark, it's not up to you. It's not your joy that I want to give to people. It's my joy. It's my job. I'll take care of it. So you don't worry. And you know, it's not just pastors that get hung up on that too. Any parent who has struggled to find just the right toy, just the right gift to give to a child, so that when they open it, there's going to be such joy and it's going to be great to record and to post it on Facebook. You know, we want to do those things. Or if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a significant other, somebody that you're really wanting to get the right gift so that they're going to experience such joy and you work so hard. I mean, even the car manufacturers prey on us in that desire to give just the right gift. I mean, here's the Honda commercial for this year.
Happy Honda Days is on now. Unwrap the joy of a new Passport, named Best in Class by Car and Driver.
Do you hear the music underneath that? Joy to the world. Joy to the world if we just get a new car and give it to someone. That'll bring them joy. And it may not be something that we buy, but it might be some other aspect of Christmas that we think we have to get just right. And if we get it just right, then everybody's going to have joy. Maybe it's that special dinner that you make. Maybe there's some special food that you have every year that you just count on because you know it will bring joy to your family. And every family is different, so maybe that's the Christmas ham for you. Or maybe you're Norwegian and it's lutefisk. Or, okay. We either have lots of Norwegians or no Norwegians. I don't know what that meant. Or I had an Italian friend, and every Christmas, he could not wait because Christmas meant his mom's homemade ravioli. That was Christmas to him, homemade ravioli, and he couldn't wait. Now, I thought that was just the strangest thing I'd ever heard of. I mean, who eats ravioli for Christmas? See, I ate something civilized, like oyster stew. And normally, this has been passed on in my family for years. My grandfather made it, my father and my mother made it, and now it's fallen to me to make it. And normally we have it on Christmas Eve, but with the services and such, we're going to have it tomorrow. And I cannot wait. It is going to give me great joy to slurp down those slimy little buggers. It's going to... But my wife, Tammy, reminded me yesterday. She says, you know, oysters do not bring joy to everyone. They do not bring joy to my world. And so she will pass on the oysters. We're kind of a divided household on that. Some like the oysters too, and some don't. So I have trouble producing joy for everyone, just in my family, let alone the world. But Jesus doesn't have any problem. Joy is what he does. In those verses in the passage we just read from Luke chapter 2, when the angels come, what do they say? They say, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. Just by showing up, Jesus brings great joy to the world. But he does more than just show up as a little baby in Bethlehem. He goes on to minister and to ultimately give his life so that we can all live. And just two chapters later in Luke, Jesus is reading from the Bible. He's reading it in the synagogue in Nazareth. And he reads this part. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He says it to us too. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. If you are poor, Jesus has joy for you. If you are brokenhearted, Jesus has joy for you. If you are in prison, Jesus has joy for you. Pastor Dwayne Sarazen was sharing a story from his prison ministry with me a few weeks back. There was a fellow there who, by his own words, had not celebrated his birthday outside of prison for 26 years. And you would think he would be discouraged, bitter, but he knew the Lord. And as a follower of Christ, he was a person of great joy. And his joy, he would share with the others around him. And so he would lift them up as well. And he shared with them that what he did is every morning, he would thank God for the gift of another day, and then he would ask God to show him somebody that he could help. Not God to show him how he was going to get help, but show him somebody that he could help. And at the end of every day, he would give thanks to God for the blessings and the opportunities that he's had that day. This is someone who had been in prison for 26 years. And yet, his joy in Christ brought encouragement to others. It doesn't matter what situation we're in. Jesus has joy for you. If you need vision, there's joy for you. If you are oppressed, there's joy for you. If you're just going about daily life and not expecting anything to be different like those shepherds out in the field, Jesus has joy for you too. Joy to the world. It's his to give. And so you can sing joy to the world without Jesus, like Three Dog Night. You can sing joy to the world with Jesus, like we did a little bit ago. But you can't give joy to the world unless you are Jesus. That's his job. And he does it well. And I hope you experience joy tonight. I really do. And I hope you experience joy wherever you go on Christmas Day. But most of all, I hope that you experience Jesus. Because he is the real joy. And not just tonight, but every day and every night. Because of Jesus, we truly can sing joy to the world, all the boys and girls. Joy to the fishies in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. Oh yeah, and that other one too. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Join with me. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Sing, sing, sing. Amen. Throughout this Advent season, I've been ending every message with a challenge. But today, there is no challenge because we can't cause joy to the world. We can't manufacture it, and we so certainly don't deserve it. So just enjoy it. No challenge there. Just enjoy Jesus while the whole world rejoices. Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, you are so wonderful, and we are so grateful that we have this opportunity to celebrate your presence. But you are not just there in a manger in Bethlehem. You are here now, and you go with us wherever we go to shine light into the dark places in our lives, to bring joy out of sadness, to heal the brokenhearted, to lift up those who are trampled down. Lord, you're always there for us. So tonight, we just thank you. We are so glad. Joy to the world.